16 million colors. Bring some havoc in your head. Welcome to Titancast, your home for Sega Saturn news, commentary, personal stories, and more. My name's Samuel, the SSG, and with me today, we're minus a couple of people, at least one person. But we've also got our Lord and Savior, Father K. We've also got our West Coast correspondent, Mr. Brian, the Virtual Slub. So between Manchester, Washington State, and Louisiana, we got a little bit of a conversation to be had. And as usual, we are going to start the thing off with a good little bit of news commentary and all the good. We're just going to talk about stupid crap. That's what we do. I mean, it's just kind of it's what we do now. There's no real format to it. So I hear an echo going on. What's up, Brian? What you got?
I mean, I think that's kind of the conceit of this whole podcast, right, Sam? Just talk about stupid shit. Like, that's stupid Saturn shit. That's, like, kind of
basically.
So, Simon, I think your mic is not working.
Simon, you're recording the audio logs. It's awesome.
Told you we would fuck up. I told you.
Well, just you know, mute the live stream you're watching on Facebook. I see you watching.
No.
Oh, Lordy.
I'm next.
Yeah. Okay. So what are we talking about again? Just random stuff we're up to.
Tell me what you've been doing for the last week there, Brian, last 3 weeks.
Yeah, so it's been about a month since we last recorded one of these. Since then, I went to the Portland Retro Gaming Expo, and that was actually really freaking cool. That was a couple weeks ago, and they had if you're not familiar, it's a big convention in Portland, Oregon. They have a lot of panels, and they have a lot of, like, competitions for Smash Brothers. They have the Tetris World Championships there, which I saw the finals for. It was really cool. They have a lot of other just random games you can play, arcade games, pinball. They also have a huge just show floor of a lot of just vendors, people selling retro games, and also, like, a few indie developers. I've noticed in the last couple of years there's more and more kind of retro-style indie developers on the floor. Atari Age has a big booth, and they essentially bankroll or publish a lot of indie projects on older Atari consoles. So you can go and play new Jaguar games that are still in development, and 2600 games and all sorts of that stuff, which is a lot of fun. Otherwise the panels kind of took up a lot of my time too, because you get the some of the usual YouTube stars. One of my favorite ones was Ben Heckendorn is always the Ben Heck Show. He has an awesome one where he'll this time he like dismantled a Sega Genesis and a couple of other consoles, like three consoles in like a half hour, and kind of went through and did like an abbreviated version of how he would do some of his shows, where you're showing all the pieces and what everything does, and it all goes over my head, but it's still funny, and his dad jokes are all pretty good. So it's a lot of humor and just entertainment there, even if you don't get everything. Stop Skeletons from Fighting had a panel, which I went to, which was really cool. They had like a little museum commemorating the NES like 35th anniversary or something. Anyway, Frank Cifaldi, he runs the Video Game History Foundation, I think that's what it's called. And so they had like a whole display where they showed a lot of the historical artifacts of like advertisements and merchandise and just all sorts of stuff that kind of captured the spirit of Nintendo as they were getting into video games. I think John Hancock had every NES game ever, or at least all of the officially released ones, out on the in the museum on display. So that was pretty cool. There's just a lot to do and a lot to see, and I spent way too much freaking money at that show. But speaking of shows, Simon, I think you also went to an expo recently, right?
You Play Expo in Blackpool, which is a town about from where I live, and it was fantastic. It was a very similar setup to what you've just described there, Brian. So many, many old arcade machines, many pinball machines, and hundreds of consoles on tables with OTTVs. And the Dreamcast Junkyard were there. They had a stand. Tom Charnock was there, who's the guy who started the Dreamcast Junkyard, which led to the Saturn Junkyard. Also, the Saturn Junkyard's Kev Wolves Mason, for those who know him, was there. And Kev actually came, I think it was second in the Mario Kart competition, which he wanted to the Junkyard. So I'm going to fulfill a promise to Kev. It was great to meet Kev. Great to see Tom. I've seen him a few times before, but they had the Divers 2000 Dreamcast. They had Dreamcasts. They had a variety of different coloured editions, the Black Sports edition and so on. It was just fantastic. The Dreamcast Junkyard do a really slick banners produced. They have flyers. Adam Korolik from YouTube was there, a talk, and he took time out with the Junkyard crew because they know each other very well. I think it was Tom that arranged for Adam to go. And it was only the second time I'd ever been to a retro expo, and I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed particularly playing the arcade machines, although I was really, really bad. I mean, anyone who knows my gaming abilities will know that I'm a sort of a gamer, but not very skilled. But Jesus, I sucked on those arcade machines, except for one, which was Centipede for some strange reason. It must be the rollerball mechanic or something. I actually kicked ass on Centipede, but every other game I played, I sucked. And like you, Brian, I spent far too much money. I came home with eight games, I think. So, yeah, it was a great experience, but it left a big hole in my pocket. I bought full games. I bought Super... excuse me. What's it called? Nothing to do with bubbles. It's called Buster Move. I bought Columns. I don't know if anyone remembers the old Sega game Columns. I bought a game which has four different types of columns on. So I was just throwing money away on tap that I didn't really want. But I've really, really got into the puzzle genre since buying those games, and now I've actually bought another two Columns games, which are just Columns and Baku Baku Animal, whole new genre that I can waste money on. So, you know, good times.
Yeah, that's I mean, certainly it's really easy to spend a shit ton of money at those. I think I ended up getting a PS1 ONE with like 70 or 80 disc only games. Although those weren't all PlayStation. There were a bunch of consoles in there. And I picked up a few Saturn games as well. But speaking of puzzlers, Simon, I think Tetris Effect came out this week. I've been playing it over the last couple of days. I might recommend that one. That is a really fun game, especially in VR, where it's a Tetsuya Mitsuguchi produced game, or directed game. So it's got that signature Lumines type presentation, and everything, every stage is set with like a bunch of just a big theme of just I don't know, sensory overload, and the music's really catchy, and it all like kind of just comes together to give you make Tetris a little bit more euphoric than you might otherwise associate with it. And that was that's a lot of fun if you're able to pick that up at some point. Sam, what have you? Oh, sorry.
I was going to say I'll definitely check that out. I did buy Tetris Plus for the Saturn, and these games are like video game crack. If you play them for a second, you'll be on there for an hour. So I'll be wary of checking that other one out because I don't know if I need any more Tetris in my life. But go ahead, Sam. Carry on.
Well, I haven't had really any great eventful stuff going on, to be completely honest with you. Besides just a regular old trying to get some kind of video content out and hanging around and playing a couple of games. I mean, really, Saturn-wise, I've got one item that's in the mail right now. It's stuck in Los Angeles from Japan, and it will finish up my I'm not going to say which one because I'm actually going to make a video about it. Like, there's actually going to be a video, and I'm going to take a photo and all the rest of that crap because I'm really excited about it. But anybody who knows what my favorite series is knows that there is one thing. Well, they might not know there's one thing, but there's one thing I'm missing from that collection or from that series that I don't have. Well, technically I have it. I just don't have it in my possession yet. So that will be coming. That'll be a little bit of a surprise. On top of that, really haven't been doing a whole lot, man. Like, the Sega Saturn is kind of taking a back seat. Like, games, period, have really taken a back seat. I have been trying to focus on getting something together for my channel. And between work, family life, and everything else, my time is very constrained. In fact, we were talking a little bit beforehand. Me and Simon were, you know, kind of just floating ideas back and forth because I've had a number of friends in the community who've reached out and said, hey, man, why don't you try this? Why don't you try this? Why don't you try this? And I hate being a broken record. It's just, you know, eventually you have to figure out how you're going to do things, whether it be a podcast like we're doing right now, making video content, a blog, whatever the case is. If you want to do it, you have to figure out a way that you enjoy doing it, but at the same time, you can get something done. So that's really been the main focus of mine. I know Brian was really getting on to me about, he was wanting me to come up to PRGE next year, and my wife is all up for the idea. So hopefully we can make that happen, Brian. You got to find me a little spot to stay. Otherwise I'm going to have to stay with one of my kinfolk up there. I've got a couple of cousins that live up that way, but,
oh, cool.
Yeah, dude, I'm really looking forward to it. I really want to be able to get up there and kind of take it in. Cause to be honest with you, we really don't have big conventions around here. Like, the biggest convention I can think of is like out up in like, Dallas or something like that. It's not really, that's 4 hours away. I know for some people it's like 4 hours. That ain't nothing, man. But dude, you got a little 2-year-old, 4 hours, hell, an hour is a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that'd be cool though, man. If you can make it up, it's really cool. Like, if you're able to spend an extended, you know, few days in Portland too, because there's a lot of neat stuff to see, a lot of, you know, museums and also other like gaming centric stuff. There's like Ground Control and a few other places that are kind of the arcade persuasion. But I like their Portland Art Museum, and they always have a lot of cool stuff going on and a lot of live music and other. And also it's a foodie town for sure. So there's no shortage of awesome food trucks and whatnot everywhere.
I tell you what I really want to do though, is I want to be able to go up there and like meet up. Like, you talked about Stop Skeletons from Fighting. He's one of, well, he and she at this point, that's one of my favorite channels, to be honest with you, on YouTube to actually watch when I get a chance to sit back and watch gaming videos. Mainly because of the fact that they don't focus on the whole, I'm not trying to throw shade at old Metal Jesus. It's not like I'm picking up the magnolia tree and trying to throw it on old boy, but I'm kind of tired of the collecting videos. I'm tired of the top tens and the hidden gems and all the rest of this crap. It's just like, that's not what gaming's about. And whenever there's a number of channels I watch nowadays that they focus on the history of the games. They focus on, you know, what was going on, the impacts they made and everything like that, and their own personal, you know, response to these games, even back then versus today. I love it whenever they do a comparison, like how it affected me then, or the experience I had with the game in 1998 or whatever the case might be versus how I feel about it today. That's always pretty cool. Cause he had like that, he had the recertified classics or whatever. He did a couple of those videos and those were pretty cool. He was like going back over Dino Crisis and Resident Evil and a number of games. But that's a really cool idea to, you know, try to take the nostalgia glasses off for a second and go back to a game that you loved growing up and see if it still holds up.
Yeah, and even just exploring some of the new stuff that you may not have ever grown up with or seen, but, you know, there's so much. I mean, the retro sphere is so broad that there's going to be a lot of nooks and crannies that are relatively unexplored. And one of the things I like from their channel is when they go into some of the unnecessary and just ridiculous histories or just like products that came out. And I think they did an episode a little bit ago about the Nintendo 64 mouse, and they actually brought it to the expo during their panel at PRGE, and one of the things they did at the end of their panel was have a few people in the audience come up, and they would have like a skilled player use the mouse in Super Smash Brothers against somebody who's like not very good at the game or hasn't played it with a, they use a regular controller, and then they would just see who would win between the Smash Brothers expert with the mouse and the noob with the regular gamepad. And that was so much fun. And those were actually really close fight. Like all of them were like really close fights. It was pretty exciting. It's like, yeah, that's that kind of like random irreverent stuff. And I just like the way they talk about games. I mean, it's not generally in terms of, oh, you should buy this, or, you know, just listing out the bullet points of what the game does that you could just, you know, see in promotional material or on the back of the box. It's they go a little deeper into like what the game's doing and what, how, you know, it affects them or how they feel like the player experience is being built. And there's, you know, a lot of YouTube channels, I think, and also just writers and podcasts. Waypoint does this a lot too, where they like really dissect like what those games, you know, how they impact the player and what they're doing artistically and historically and just in the grander scheme of the society that they were released to. And they're also just really nice. They just seem like really nice people too. So that's always, I like the idea that, you know, maybe we can step back from the cynicism a little bit, and that's become pretty rampant in gaming at large. And it's kind of nice to have a little bit of a positive outlook to kind of flood into the community. So yeah, I love that channel as well.
You know, you bring up the whole cynicism and everything like that, and I think that's a good point for us to start, because I think today what we were talking about is it's been more than a year since the Junkyard Facebook group was created. But it was a year ago minus a day, I believe, because I think technically we started on the 12th, but a year ago minus a day, or a year ago on the money, was whenever Titancast was formally created and whenever we recorded our very first episode. Am I wrong there, Brian?
Yeah, I think tomorrow, right? The 12th. Well, as we're recording this. Tomorrow.
Right. I'm pretty sure tomorrow's a 1 year anniversary, and we have had a year to look at how the community has grown, how this podcast has grown. I mean, we went from having 10 to 15 listeners to we have over, you know, 150 people listen to us on the regular now, which is astonishing. It might not be the levels of some other podcasts, but that's a lot of people to listen to you. And I think looking back at it from where the Junkyard first started, at least the group wise at this point a year ago, to where we are today, I think what really set the Junkyard apart back then was that it wasn't really a group dedicated to collecting. It wasn't a group, because we had challenges going on. We had people posting videos about what they were doing. We had, you know, intricate discussions on, you know, some of the background history of it. I remember David Lee was really, really big right then, especially, I mean, we only had like maybe 400 or 500 members at that point. And it was a very tight-knit community. A lot of people knew each other, and there wasn't so much cynicism like we're talking about. And today, I don't want to say the Junkyard has fallen into the same state as a number of other groups on Facebook or the retro gaming community as a whole, but we do from time to time have these people pop up who are almost egotistical. And I say that to mean that they're very high and mighty. If you don't do things their way, or if you don't play games a certain way, or if you don't have this collection or whatever the case is, you're not a real fan. You're not a true collector. There's all these titles that get thrown around that they kind of depreciate from the fact that we're playing video games. This isn't some high stakes poker crap. I mean, if you want to invest in games or whatever the case is, I mean, that's great for you. Like, if all you want to do is sit there and look at them on the shelf, that's cool too, brother. If you are a strict CRT purist, great. But to sit there and to degrade people and try to make people feel less than because they don't fit your category, I think that's a real cancer in the community, and it's something that needs to be openly discussed. And I'm all for free speech, but there comes a point where it's just like you're more toxic than you're worth.
I mean, one of the things I think that works to the Junkyard's favor in this instance is that we're not necessarily a collector specific community, or you know, we don't really have a specific angle that a lot of others, you know, because there are dedicated collecting communities which are going to kind of take a little more of a harder line stance among their members of what constitutes that fandom within that specific segment of the retro scene. But you know, I think the Saturn junkyard overall, you know, there's exceptions, but I think overall it's kind of built on the idea that we pretty much accept however you want to enjoy the hobby, you're welcome. You know, like, we want to talk about these games, we want to talk about the culture behind these games, and you know, we want to talk about collecting from time to time, and we want to talk about emulation or other ways to enjoy some of these classics that particularly with the Saturn has such high barriers to entry for somebody who's coming into it for the first time. I mean, it's just not a cheap console to collect for on the whole. And so, you know, it's nice to have that community of people to give them angles of, well, you know, maybe the pseudo Saturn, and or maybe emulation, or here's, you know, some tips for getting good deals when you're trying to collect the hardware, or hey, we can arrange, you know, trades and stuff. Although we don't really see that as much as I think we did when we started. But yeah, I mean, overall, I when we stray from that understanding that, you know, the retro community is built on that umbrella of all these people who are just there to enjoy it, and we're all enjoying our just company and experience with the console in whatever capacity we're able to. I mean, I think that's where it's at its best. But yeah, Simon, do you want to add anything too?
I've got a couple of things to say. First of all, I would say that I am someone who's only very recently started watching YouTube videos about the Saturn, and everybody's videos impress me, whether that be Metal Jesus or RGT85 or anyone. Carter's Retro Reviews, there's Mastercast TV. I love them all. So I'm a consumer. I love them all. But I one thing that I think it's always been about, and I'm going to echo what both of you said there, is inclusivity. We are not a group that only has people who have complete collections. We're not a group that only has people who only buy genuine copies of imported games. Yeah, from day one, we've said we love repros. We've said we love emulation. And in fact, Nuno, I think this is a point that's worth bringing up. Nuno, who is a guru of Saturn, as far as I'm concerned, the guy who knows his stuff, knows his games, has a long history with the console, but he plays all his stuff on emulation. He doesn't own a Saturn, I don't think. Now, if anyone were to tell me that he is not a true Saturn fan, I would just laugh them out of the room, because he is Saturn to his core. There is no such thing as you've got to do it this way or you've got to do it that way. And I would say that what Sam said at the very start, the thing, if you are a fan of the Saturn, is that you play the games, that you experience the games, whether it comes on an Xbox 360, on Xbox Live Arcade, or whether it comes through the Saturn itself because you've gone out and sourced one and you've got your genuine games, whether you play repros, which I play a lot of, or just burn games which have got the name scribbled on a marker pen, which I play a lot of. Every single one of my shmups is a copy. I don't have a genuinely imported of any of the shmups. The Parodius games, which are amongst my favourite on the Saturn, I've got a disc written on in marker pen. And you know, I hate the idea that you have to do it this way or you have to do it that way. If you experience the games, then you are a Saturn fan. Yes, it's great. If you've got a history with the console, if like me and Sam, we had our Saturns back in the day, and that was, you know, something that we will always remember. It's a 90s memory for us. But for other people who are just discovering them yesterday, you know, for the guy who just thought, oh, you know, I remember the Saturn, but I never really played it. Let me have a look. Then welcome. Come on board. Join the junkyard. Come and find out about the console. Do it whatever way you want. That I object to on the junkyard are those who troll deliberately, those who get agitated other people's stances and other people's viewpoints. I hate people who lose their shit over games and who get angry and who insult other people because of games. It's a very kids' pastime, really. I know we're all adults, but you know, big games, it's about playing, and people should not get into fights about playing. Do you get
Yeah.
where I'm coming from? Is that
Oh,
making
exactly.
sense?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, it's already like the Saturn is already a niche enough hobby. Like, you know, how interested are we really in making it even more exclusive than it already is? Like, I mean, I think the goal of a place like the Saturn Junkyard is to say, you know, no matter, you know, if you remember the console from your youth and, you know, you grew up with it, you should, you know, here's a place you can talk about it. Or hey, if you've never owned a Saturn but you're kind of curious about what, you know, you're thinking about buying one and you want to know how to get started. We also cater to that, and we're open to helping people through there. I think, as you might have said at some point, Simon, their Saturn journey, so to speak. And I think that's apt. I think that is, in my opinion, the overarching goal of what the junkyard serves for the community.
Part of the junkyard, we always have little bits of silliness. We've done the sexy snaps, and we've done the pictures with light guns, and we've done
Oh, that's right.
recently we had the We Hate the Saturn campaign. We've had the N64 junkyard, and what's really telling is when people lose their shit over our silly behavior. And you know what, Sam? You posted a little video recently saying we're gonna go on doing that, and hell yes, we are. We are keeping it light, taking the piss, making fun of ourselves. We don't want to be serious up our own ass collectors. We want to be people who enjoy gaming and enjoy games and enjoy taking the mick out of each other and enjoy a bit of fun. And I don't want anyone to get serious, or I don't want anyone to fall out over it. I just don't see that as productive.
Well, that's the deal. Like, I'm one of them guys that gaming really made a direct impact on my life. In a lot of respects, I don't mean to be cliche, but gaming saved my life a number of times. But even that being said, we're here to enjoy something. We are here to consume something. And it's not just a consumption in money or monetary reasons. It's a consumption in
Although it certainly includes that.
I mean, yeah, if you're going to buy the actual games, I mean, I'm going to tell you flat out, dude, like if someone's new into the community, like straight up, dude, just go mod your Saturn or get a pseudo Saturn and just buy a stack of CDRs. Unless you just really got to have the real deal, just get on it. I don't know. That's a whole nother topic. We've talked about that. We've killed that. We've beat that horse to death. My point is, though, is that whenever it comes to this community, not just the Saturn community, but our community, the junkyard. I think we have always strived to help one another. We've always strived to be off the cuff. We've always strived to be, you know, it's not abrasive, but it's also direct. You know, we're not trying to be these holier than thou. You've got to do it this way. It's basically like, dude, Burning Rangers. I remember whenever we went on Burning Rangers, and I posted a video about finding out for the very first time that my Japanese saves worked on my English game, and I was just like completely blown away by that. And people were like, "Dude, I didn't know you could do that." And other people were like, "Well, yeah, of course you could do it. It's just a save file," and no one got pissed off about it. We were just it was a learning experience for everybody, and that's really what the junkyard's about. It's about learning about other people, other people's experiences. That's why I really love the international aspect of the junkyard. It's not just about America. It's not just about, you know, I know to begin with, we were always like, especially John Lee was always like, "This is a UK-based group," and I was like, "Yeah, man, but over half the members are from America." It's like it doesn't really matter at this point, you know. We're just poking fun at each other, but it's awesome that you get to have that multiple experiences, because even though the Saturn just sucked here in the United States, it did better in Europe than it did here in the States. I mean, that's not even to speak about how it did over in Asia. But having all these different experiences, having all these different ideas and what it means to be a gamer, what games are good. I mean, I loved it whenever we had a the guilty pleasure or whatever it was we had, the guilty pleasure pictures, to where everybody was posting pictures of their favorite game that is normally associated as a trash game. And I was like so proud of my copy of SimCity 2000. So many people give that game shit. And I'm just like, I love that game. And I can't remember how, I mean, there was a crap ton of people that did that. The sexy snaps you're talking about. And then Simon told me, nah, you can't take a picture at a good video store. You got to go to a horrible one. And I'm over at GameStop, like mean mugging like hell. Like, I loved it, dude. I have memories of this group I had. Like, honestly, I've been in this community for over a year now. And before that, I had been out of the retro gaming community for probably the better part of 8-9 years. Like, it wasn't like I wasn't in the group anymore. I wasn't in the community, but I was more of a hands-off, just kind of being a voyeur and watching from the outside. It wasn't until, you know, last year when I got into the Dreamcast junkyard and then subsequently the Saturn junkyard that I became active again. And the reason I wasn't being active is because of the level of just outright hate that is in this community. It's just like, it's toxic as hell. But then when I came to the junkyard, it was an entire, it might have been the fact that we were so small at the time, but I mean, even now, whenever we have over 20,000, you know, we got 2,500 members, it's still a very calm group. We've got a lot of new faces. We have a lot of new ideas and personalities, but generally speaking, it's a very open and friendly group. I mean, anytime somebody's got an issue with Gun Griffin or they need to know something, they immediately know to tag me up in it, which, I mean, I kind of brought that on myself. Hell, I talk about Gun Griffin every other week, but yeah, I really enjoy it. It's a breath of fresh air compared to a lot of the other communities, especially regarding the Saturn.
Yeah. And one of the things I particularly appreciate is all of the different ways that people do just go, they dive headfirst into a specific aspect to share their enthusiasm about. So for example, whenever Ben Boyd will post some, you know, piece that he's put together, because he's an artist, and he will mock up, like, I guess, you know, Sega Saturn retail boxes, both of for the console and for games, and his designs and everything. Every time he like posts something, it's just so cool to see like that stuff being shared. That's so unique and so I don't know, just adds a lot of character to the community. And also by the same token, even, you know, the collectors in the groups, you know, Kay, I was talking about him or with him the other day, and he was, you know, there's the kind of a big debate about what constitutes a complete collection and what kind of, you know, how obscure do we really want to go? Do we want to go to into like cleaning, or what is it? The, you know, the cleaning discs or rare developer demos or rare games like, you know, Eiffel Home and was it Heimwaltz and De La Soba Deluxe, some of these games that were just very specific for like a particular show or application or company that were only distributed to like employees or managers of those companies. So you know, they weren't actually released to retail, and they're probably only, who knows how many exist, maybe a small handful. And so it's really fun to like just learn more about all of that aspect of it, and when people do build their collections up, and I think Simon, you said you saw Mike Phelan from the Dreamcast Junkyard. He was actually on our podcast a few episodes back here, but I think he's on his way to collecting almost everything you could imagine having for the Dreamcast, which is really cool when he starts posting up some of those more obscure item finds and some of those demo discs that are just like, so you're like, I don't know how these were distributed. Like, they must have come in some random magazine that, yeah, it's, you know, that's the only way you could have gotten it. It's really, really interesting.
I saw Mike at the expo. I was so busy trying to remember to give Kev his props for winning the Mario Kart competition. I forgot to mention that I had a great time meeting Mike as well. But yeah, Mike has actually written a book, Cast Game Owning, and he is a complete completionist. And we have room for those people too on the yard. It's just that we want everyone to feel, if they only have, I saw a guy posted a copy of Sega Worldwide Soccer 97. It was his first ever game, and he was going to try and complete the PAL collection. And I just thought, yeah, great, go for it, man. It's, you know, we welcome everyone, whether you're an emulator, a burner, whether you want more original games, whether you have a complete collection. I've got something which is perhaps maybe typical of the most Saturn users here. So I've got a lot of PAL games and a lot of Japanese imports, but I've also got a lot of copies, repros, my good friend Marvin Massius from Nightwing Production on order. I'll watch something on YouTube and I'll think, wow, that looks like a good game. And then a couple of weeks later, through the post, will come that game, either as a PAL copy or as a Japanese copy. And these are repros, and I'm under no illusion that they're repros, and I couldn't care less that they're repros. They go on the shelf with my other stuff. And you know, if I knew how to emulate, if I knew how to burn, I'd be doing it all day. I just want to play the games, and that's it for me. So, yeah, seeing Mike was very cool as well. I wanted to mention that before the end of the podcast. the Saturn Junkyard is a phenomenal place because of our members. We have a group of very active members. We have obviously 2,500. Many of them don't ever post, or you know, they just check in every once in a while. But we have a core group of people who know each other and speak about each other, speak to each other. As you say, Sam, you're known for Gun Griffin. I think I'm known for Casper. Blue are known for Clockwork Night. We have people who are known for other. They're go-to people. It's still a fantastic place after a year. It's still small enough, I feel. Out of 2,500 people, a handful of people that haven't been cool. And generally, the people who interact there are fabulous. And of course, we can never do a podcast without mentioning our friends from Shiro, who are equally active on the Junkyard. You know, David Lee, Kay, Patrick, Claire, Peter. They're part of the community as well. So we're very lucky that we get to share in their world and they share in our world as well.
Yeah, I agree completely. It's, you know, it's just really neat to see all these people coming together. And I feel like one of the things that distinguishes the Junkyard in a way is not necessarily, like, even if we do, when we continue to grow and get more people, I feel like the core community or the sense of community that gets fostered through the types of discussions we have, which are tend to be very, very, you know, different and mixed. And sometimes they're just, you know, they go all sideways. Sometimes they're, you know, they're genuinely learning education moments because there's just a lot of knowledge being dropped in some of these threads. There's just such a diversity of dialogue going on in the community that I think regardless of how large it gets, I feel like that is kind of the core of what keeps it a little bit, you know, I don't want to talk too much crap about other, you know, retro game communities out there, but I mean, you know, you don't, I think one of the reasons you just don't see a lot of the same toxicity in the Junkyard relative to those is it's the understanding is there that, yeah, we don't talk about game, we don't all talk about games the same way, and we don't all appreciate the hobby the same way, and that's totally cool.
We will also drop the ban hammer on a son of a bitch real quick.
yeah, that happens.
If someone breaks the golden rule of being a dick, we'll oust them quickly. But fortunately, most people aren't dicks.
It's like there's one guy that was in another group. I'm not going to call names right now, but there's one guy that just went on a tangent in another high profile community. And
Dude,
I am waiting so hard, because if you haven't realized, everyone that's a member, the people in this podcast are the founding members minus one of the Junkyard, actually minus two, because there's
and John Lee, of course.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the one I was thinking about, John Lee, and then there's No. I'm talking about like Nuno's normally in the podcast. Who am I thinking about? Jesus Christ. Oh,
talking about Arugalas.
Oh, yeah.
No. I'm going to tell you who I'm talking about. Y'all have done, this is why this is live.
We'll carry on. We'll get back to it.
Just calm down. It'll be okay. Just calm down. Daniel. Okay. Whenever we first started off, it was John Lee.
Daniel Turner.
That's what I'm saying. It was Daniel Turner, and he's still an admin. Then there was John Lee, who is no longer an admin, but he's a member still. Then there was, of course, yourself, Simon.
He's our only platinum member still, right?
I believe so.
Best.
But then Brian was brought in, then I was brought in, then Nuno was brought in, because Nuno was like late to the game coming back to the community. Right. So say two people the podcast is the founding members of the Junkyard, and we all are eternal admins until Simon decides to kick us out, or we just say screw it. So, yeah, we're not dicks, but if you be a dick, we're gonna ban the hell out of you. And I am seriously waiting for old boy to be a dick.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, is that there are so many people who are members of a lot of other groups that, you know, if you're a dick in one, that's going to kind of impact a little bit of, or, you know, there's a little bit of bleeding over into how people perceive you in other groups. So I think that's something.
See, I never, ever go on any of the groups, including even the Dreamcast Junkyard. I'm very rarely there. So I don't know what goes on other groups particularly. So I don't know if people before they arrive on the Junkyard, but you guys may have known of them beforehand.
Well, you know, I've got all these people who add me to these groups, and it's just like, you know, I'm probably a member of about 30-something retro gaming groups now. And it started literally, the first one I joined up was the Dreamcast Junkyard. It kind of just mushroomed out of that. And I'll be honest with you, say about five of them, I have the rest of them muted. I do not want to hear about them because it's literally just the same thing every single day. It's like, hey guys, look, I got this game. Or hey guys, this is the only way you can do things. Or hey guys, you're an asshat if you don't have this. And I'm just like,
yeah.
I'm like, dude, like, can you like, can you stroke your shaft any harder?
No, my favorite is the post where they like superimpose. There's a guy at the table outside. He's like sitting in a chair behind the table, and then you have the sign in front of it that's like, I don't know, some whatever inflammatory. Oh, yeah.
Change my mind
or whatever they want to say, and then change my mind. It's like, yeah, maybe that's not the best like angle, or as far as like, you know, having a productive conversation to already just like throw it up as a cookie cutter meme that already like frames it as kind of a, I don't know, like a debate outright. And it's like, maybe there's better ways to have those conversations.
You know, I was one of those guys who said the N64 is trash, changed my mind.
Yeah, you are.
No, I would be one of those guys, but I don't know how to do it. So that's the only way and throw memes out there.
I think there is a place for stuff like that at times, especially in a community such as ours. The problem is we have new members coming in all the time who don't have the history. And whenever they start asking questions, sometimes it can become dickish whenever members are like, dude, just go with it. It's like, that's why I made that little PSA the other day. It's like, this is what the Junkyard does, okay? If you get mad about it, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. It's going to keep happening. And I think there are some people who honestly are not, they're not interested in that kind of back and forth. They really don't care about that. They don't enjoy it for whatever the case it might be. But at least for me, I kind of like having the back and forth sometimes. I like screwing off sometimes, you know what I mean? And this whole idea that you got to be 100% serious about games is just like, there's a time for it, but it's not all the time.
Yeah. I love the mischief and the silliness, I'll be honest. I'm up for the April Fools and the Halloween name changes and the N64 Junkyards and all that. I have to say, there was one guy recently who was a little outraged that we'd changed the name of the group from the Saturn Graveyard to the Saturn Junkyard. And I have to say, I sympathize with him because the Saturn Graveyard is such a great name for a group.
It actually is.
Like, yeah, why are you changing it from something so good to something inferior? And if it wasn't for the longevity of the group, if it wasn't for the fact that the Junkyard's been around since 2006, I think I would have to change it to Saturn Graveyard because I love that name.
Yeah,
but it's going to be that for October every year from now on anyway. So,
yeah, for sure. And actually, I ended up talking to him and, you know, just I think sometimes in these situations, you know, it's you got to understand that somebody is new to this group. They're not privy to what things are like when we're doing shit like the, you know, Saturn car group, right? And the
that shit was
Nintendo
funny as hell. That
junkyard.
Shit was funny as hell, man.
So it's yeah, but like I think it's worth just, you know, saying, hey, you know, this is kind of what we do from time to time. And that guy, he was like totally cool with it. And everybody, like all you have to do is just kind of, you know, just throw it out there that, hey, yeah, we're a little bit different than most groups you might encounter. And I think that's a big part of what, you know, I don't want to keep tooting the horn of the junkyard, but that's what makes us unique. And I think people are not really expecting that. They're like, oh, wait, this is kind of a community that embraces irreverent and just, you know, slapstick or whatever ridiculousness it gets into. And I think that's not something you see all the time in a lot of retro groups, or at least not in a way that's productive or fun for everyone.
Well, dude,
so I think there's an adjustment there to that unique aspect. Oh yeah, go ahead, Sam.
Well, I was gonna say, dude, I can go through my feed right now up on other groups, and I can tell you right now, I can go screenshot it right now, but I don't want people seeing the entirety of my messed up, you know, desktop. But it's the crap you see in other groups. There are some groups that are awesome, like the Sega Creatives group. They're an awesome group because you know what it's about. It's a very dedicated group. And people, you know, like you said, there's the collectors groups. One of them I personally don't really care for is one of them that you put me into, and that was the Seattle Retro Gamers. I
put you into?
Yes. No. I will show you the freaking message. I will. And you're like, hey, dude, you should totally join this group. And I'm like, okay. And I did all the things. I mean, I'm not saying that you like actively made me join it, but you were the one suggesting it. And what I will say is this, though. When it started, I was kind of like, okay, this is a decent group. This is a decent group. But then it is just like, I don't know, maybe it's just the fact I'm a Southern guy, or maybe it's just the fact all they ever want to talk about is Nintendo crap. And I'm not anti-Nintendo. Don't get me wrong. It's just, I didn't grow up with a Nintendo Entertainment System. I didn't really care about the N64. In my opinion, it's got like 12 games to it. And it's just like, I'm really not jiving with this group. I hang around to see what everybody's talking about, because, I mean, they do have some interesting conversations from time to time, but it's just not really that fun for the most part.
Yeah. Here's what I would say. If there was a group that had kind of the irreverence or just that diversity of conversation and content that the junkyard has that was centered around Nintendo or PlayStation or Xbox, I would join those in a heartbeat. But the problem is that, as far as what I can tell, a lot of the more general retro groups out there, they don't have that. They, you know, and they are focused very specifically on a you know, particular angle of enjoying, you know, retro gaming, and that's kind of the focus. And I think another product of that is just the type of media that we consume around the retro scene, where a lot of those videos, as you were alluding to, Sam, earlier, are focused on more of the materialistic aspects of the collecting and you know, finding the next thing to buy, like what's the next pickup, or the, you know, it's all of that stuff. And I think that's just kind of evolved into or shaped how those conversations go down and how they're focused in those groups. And the other thing is also, when you have a group that is so wide and broad of just topics, where you can talk about, you know, Nintendo stuff or anime or whatever things come up, you kind of lose a little bit of the granularity and that ability to deep dive into, you know, sharing your enthusiasm with other people about a specific thing who are also familiar with it, because, you know, those groups are just, it's like the mile wide, inch deep kind of scenario, where, you know, people kind of just keep things to a top 10 list, or, you know, favorites or pickups or something. And that's about as deep as they're willing to really delve into some of those conversations. And so that kind of limits things, I think, in a way, for a lot of those groups. And I don't want to like throw shade at any of them either, because, I mean, I think for the purpose of what they're serving, and you know, there's nothing wrong with talking about games that way either. If you want, you know, because a lot of people are collectors and they do like to see other people's collector or pickups and, you know, game rooms and stuff. And I think, you know, there's definitely a place for that. And I think that's really cool that people are able to do that and they enjoy it. But I think the line gets a little bit blurry when the expectation becomes, you know, that's how all of the conversations should go. And anything deviating from that is not, people don't really know how to respond to it. And so I think that gets a little bit limiting.
I've realized actually as we're having this conversation that I always post pictures of the stuff that I've just collected or just received. I do that all the time.
I mean, yeah, there's absolutely nothing wrong with posting what you have. I don't have a.
I'm not saying it's banned on the junkyard because I'm in trouble.
No. It's not. I don't think there's anything wrong with posting what you have. Where I personally become disinterested is whenever the sole purpose of you showing off what you have is to like pump up your chest and say, this is what I got. It's like a peacock. It's like, boom, look how many damn feathers I got. Look how pretty they are. It's like, that's cool, man. There's a time for that. I mean, it's like, anytime you look at one of my videos, there's a wall of games behind me, but that wall of games back there, there's not really a whole lot of like rare games back there. Most of those games are there for a purpose. That wall and everything I display in my room, there's actually games on my shelf that are worth more than the games that are actually up there on the podium or out or on the mantle.
I like the mantle of games. I think that's kind of unique, actually.
Well, the reason I do it is because they're conversation points. They're memories. Oh, it's like, you know, I've got the import copy of Panzer Dragoon's Way. Simon sent that to me, and I have it up on the mantle. Even though I've got the actual game, the American copy of the game, I keep his copy up on the shelf. Why? Because it's a moment in time that I remember. It's like, you know, Father K was like, hey, dude, I've got a whole bunch of extra games. Would you want one? And I was like, sure, man. You know, and he's like, no charge, no worry. I'm just going to ship it over to you. And it's a memory. It's a memory of me getting into the community. It's like, you know, I have things up there that matter to me. I have things up there that had an impact on me. It's not necessarily to say that they are the most rare game or they're the ones you're supposed to play. It's like, Jesus Christ, like about Afterburner on the Sega Master System sitting up there. Like, that game is atrocious, but the reason I have it up there is because it was the first Master System game I ever played. Like, I can remember being over at my cousin's house and playing Afterburner on the Master System. That was my first Sega experience. It was my first Master System experience, and it was my first experience with Afterburner. So that's three memories all tied together, and it was a moment in my gaming life. So I think that's where showing off what you have can become a topic of discussion. It's something that it has purpose to it. It's not just there for show.
My most precious Saturn possession is actually the box that Ben Boyd made for me, which has no game inside at all, but it has everyone's entry for last year's Saturn competition. When everyone produced a piece of art, Ben made a Saturn game case that had every single piece of art that had been entered into the competition. It's a unique thing. It's not genuine Sega, it's not genuine Saturn, but it's genuinely, as you say, it's a moment in time, it's a memory. And Sam, I'm very glad that you have my game up on the shelf. That kind of brought a tear to my eye a little bit when you said that. I was very humbled. So thank you.
Good to go, brother. Good to go. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, that's, I mean, and I, oh, go ahead, Simon.
That'd be a beautiful point for us to end on there, guys, because I'm just feeling the love right now, the Saturn.
That sounds good to me.
You got any final thoughts there, Brown?
I also haven't eaten my dinner yet. That's another thing, so I'm feeling my stomach rumbling as well.
Old boy's tired, hungry. He got to get some food, man.
Yeah. Oh, how did Man City hang on?
Oh, yeah, they won 3-1. So they more than hung on. They we'll get hate about this if I crow too much. So we won't say too much more about them winning.
So I think there's one other thing I would like to do before we sign off here, and that is give a shout out to all of our admins.
Yeah,
I mean, it's, you know, I feel like they have, you know, a lot of the people who make up the core of the community and have been involved early on and who are just, you know, really driving that culture of the junkyard, which we've glowingly praised throughout this episode, you know, that we'll adopt a lot of those people into the admin staff. And I think there's, you know, a genuine reflection of that, what makes the community special just through all of the people who head it. So, yeah, I mean, definitely want to give shout outs to Jared Callister. He's one of our newest admins, and Morgan Patrick, Roberto, of course, Cristino. Is that how he pronounces it?
Yeah, I know.
Natalie Marie, of course, Nuno is not here with us. Andy Saxon, Gaz Cormac. Yeah, that was always Cormac. It's like, yeah,
Cormac.
Gaz Cormac. He's awesome. He sent me a copy of one of the retro gamers that came out. It was the Daytona USA one that was out a couple months ago, and I knew it was gonna be like a super long time before I would be able to buy it here stateside. So it was really cool for him to send that. So yeah, thanks again, Gaz. That's awesome. And then Daniel Turner, of course, one of the founding admins on our staff. And also Cameron Graziano, who's been around. He's been involved for as long as I can remember on this community. So
he's our maple syrup loving cousin.
That's right. That's right. But yeah,
on that subject, I have an announcement to make. We've got a secret admin coming. I can't say too much about this, but there's going to be a new admin for our 12th year anniversary. Is it December 13th?
Is this going to be like 13th? The 12th admin?
The 15th admin or the 20th admin? But yeah, it's going to be it's a secret admin who's going to be revealed on the 6th of December, which is our 13th anniversary, I believe.
Are we going to find out?
I also want to give a shout out, one more shout out to kind of the guy who got the Saturn Junkyard community, I think, up and running in its recent iteration, and John Lee.
Indeed, yes. Yes.
Guys, just one of the pillars of the community, in my opinion.
The founder, the co-founder.
Steampunk pillar, steampunk pirate pillar. I'm looking for some alliteration there. I can't find it.
It'll be all right. All right, boys. Y'all think we're good to go?
Yeah, I'm good.
All righty. Well, from all of us here at Titancast, this is us signing off.